Hello and welcome to this Final Boss Fight audio podcast of Masks of Nyarlathotep, where a group of intrepid investigators face ancient horrors and global conspiracies as dark schemes herald the end of the world. My name is Jeff and I am the keeper of arcane lore for this campaign. So, without any further delay, let us begin.
Hello and welcome to Final Boss Fight. My name is Jeff and once again I return as the keeper of arcane lore for Masks of Nyarlathotep. I'm joined tonight by our hardy band of investigators. I'm joined by Brian Croy Dragon.
Hello.
I'm joined by Stanza.
Good night.
And I'm joined by Robin.
Who?
Robin.
Who?
with the cat ears. All right. And I'll do the recap for this evening.
Hello? Is this thing on? Oh, Uncle always makes it look so easy. Well, the drum is going round, so I guess it's working. Let's see now. Report on the ongoing investigation into the death of Jackson Alliance and the disappearance of the Carl Expedition by me, Willis Sly, acting for Carlton Ramsey, lawyer and executor of Mr. Elias's will. Poor Uncle Carlton, I hope the rest of the home will do him good. I must remember to get rid of all his bottles somehow. Anyway, let's see now. The friends of Jackson and Elias have made it to Egypt. Oh, I wish I was there. It sounds so romantic. They've been joined by Capac Locke, son of their previous comrade Flintlock. Uncle never told me exactly what happened to him. Oh, well, I suppose it doesn't really matter. Oh, goodness, I'm rambling again. Uncle always said I needed to keep my feet on the ground. Where was I? Oh, yes. The friends arrived in Port Said, then on to Cairo, Capac with them. Oh, I can't wait to see what happens next. Recording ends.
And so, move us to the Cairo map. And the day dawns, the morning dawns, and you awaken from a very good night's sleep at the Hotel Shepherd, one of the most expensive hotels in Cairo, certainly one of the most hospitable, certainly one of the most comfortable. And it's morning, and you can hear coming from outside the hustle and bustle of the streets of Cairo. What are your plans? How do you wish to progress the investigation? Where do you wish to go first? And just so you're aware, it is the 21st of March.
I've got the 23rd on my notes.
Have I got 23rd? Let me just check this. I haven't got my sheets up, that's why.
Go question Warren Bessart.
Mm-hmm, that's an option.
Yeah, mate, I'm trying to find that letter on the resources because handwriting's too annoying.
Oh, you're right, it's 23rd of March. Yep, that's my mistake. Morning of the 23rd of March.
Do we also have that Faraz Najjar?
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering.
This is Robin speaking. I can't actually remember.
Yeah, that's another name on the list. There's also Dr. Ali Kapoor. Acquaintance of Tim Sullivan's.
Mm-hmm.
Oliver, leave my pant leg alone.
Shall we go see this Warren Bessart then? Was he in museum owner? Carlisle Inn, Egypt fixer.
Speaking out of character, I don't remember. I'm just going down the list of what we have provided.
Oh, Okay, Roland Bessard is who put Roger Carlyle in touch with Faraz Naja. Just decided to just quickly skip the letter.
Can you read out the letter, actually, just for so we're all clear with it?
Okay. I can give it a shot. Dear Mr. Carlyle, your lawyer informed me that you seek a certain knowledge of this land and its distant past, and I believe I can aid you in this regard. Something in the old quarter have identified one Faraz Najjar in the Street of Jackals, who claims to be in possession of a singular... Can't read that. Which he believes will be of great interest to you. He is prepared to part with these items if a suitable price can be agreed upon, and I shall endeavour to make sure that matters are arranged to your satisfaction. Yours, M. Warren Bazzard.
Okay, so it sounds like this Warren Bazzard might know what this weird item or whatever it is that Faraz... Sorry, I'm terrible with these names. Faraz Najjar was asking after.
It was Warren Bazzard signposted Roger Carlyle to Faraz Najjar, who had the item in question.
Right.
So can I just ask a question? What are you investigating exactly? What is your investigation about?
Good point. I mean, I know at some point we're going to try and find where the cult here is and what they're up to.
But what is the starting point of your investigation for this whole thing? For this whole thing, what is this? What is the starting point of the investigation?
Would we not want to look into seeing what Jackson Elias was looking into initially?
Which I guess means following the trail of the Carlyle expedition, effectively?
Mm-hmm.
So if we're going down the route of the Carlyle expedition, basically talking to people who met Roger Carlyle.
Yeah.
Okay, yep. So is that your plan then? Is that the plan that you're going for, to speak to Warren Bazzard?
I think so.
Why not?
Sorry, I'm just starting to have a little bit of a look through the old handouts for what could be leads over here as well.
In general, there's a set of four bullet points for to make it easy for you.
Yeah.
Warren Bazzard, Faraz Najjar, Dr. Ali Kafur, and Omar al-Shakti. But be careful with that one, since that's explicitly a member of the cult. And we have something he wants.
Shall we go see this Warren Bazzard to begin with, then?
Okay, first question. Where is he?
That is a good question.
Yeah, true. This letter only has Roger Carlyle's address. His New York address. But it does have his typeface name on it. Like, it says Drago... My brain says Drago Man. No, I'm convinced that says Drago Man. It's like at the top beneath his name.
Tim, do you know what a Drago Man is?
A Drago Man?
Would Tim know? I think Tim would know this.
Is that something I have to roll?
No, I'm just asking, do you know what a Drago Man is?
Is this a Cthulhu Mythos thing, or something I have to look up on Wikipedia?
Oh no, I was just wondering if you knew it. A dragoman is basically a guide or reporter.
Oh, Arab interpreter.
Oh, yeah, I think I remember hearing the name of them when I was watching the episode back earlier. So shall we go find one of them first and see if they know where he could be found? You know what,
well, you're in...
Pac's going to walk out onto the street and see if he can find one.
Okay. So, Pac, you walk out onto the street, and it's a bustling street. There's people crowding by, there's market stalls, people calling out their wares, fresh vegetables, genuine antiquities from the pharaohs, jewellery. There's street musicians. And no sooner do you step out onto the street when you're approached by a boy, an 11-year-old boy. Mister, you want guide, mister?
Ah, yes, good timing, little one. And he ruffles the kid's hair.
My name Mahmood. I'm very good guide.
Mahmood, I'm Pac.
Ah, Kapak, Mr. Kapak, yes. Where you want to go?
We want to find a man called...
Warren Bazaar?
That's the one. Discord keeps... I've only had half a glass. keeps kind of scrolling down, so my notes are going... yes, Warren Bazaar.
Warren Bassat. Ah, yes, Warren Bassat. He live on Street of Scorpions. Yes, I seen him. Yes. You want to go now? You want to go now? I take you now.
Yes, let me just grab my two companions.
Oh, yeah, friends. Bring friends. Yes, bring friends.
Oi, you two, come on.
Oh,
I think I've
right.
got someone to direct us.
All right. Come in.
Yes, you bring friends. Yes, good. Yes, come this way. Come this way. And you're like, you're starting
to put it. Seem to be named after animals, I see.
Yes. Come. You come this way. You come, and he starts pulling at your sleeve.
Stay on there.
You safe with me. You safe with me.
Okay, just slow down a bit. I can't keep pace. Limping along.
And he does like to take you. It takes like, you know, it's a very like, you know, a maze of alleys and streets and marketplaces. But he does lead you quite deftly down side roads through alleys to the point where you very quickly forget, lose track of which way you've come. You get the feeling that if you were to lose this boy, you'd have a great difficulty finding your way back. But he does stay with you. He's quite happy to like lead you along. And before long, you find yourself standing in front of a door painted red. He turns down an alley. He says, "This Street of Scorpions," and he stands in front of a door that is painted red. I've seen Warren Bassat here. This is where he is.
Should we check before we pay him?
Yeah, go on then. One of you guys can take the lead here.
I don't suppose there's any, like, nameplate on the door or anything like that.
There's no nameplate on the door.
But then it also feels rude to knock on the door while the kid's waiting there to be compensated for his efforts.
He doesn't look in a rush to be paid, particularly.
Okay. I'll take a knock there.
Tell you what, that's happening. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pac's going to just give all his money that he's got for the day to the kid and say, "If you kind of act as our guide for the our entire journey, the rest will pay you."
And he looks down. This is more money than he's probably ever seen in his entire life. And he looks up at you wide-eyed. Goes, "Yes, sir. Yes, Mister. Mahmood, I will be your faithful guide. I will be your faithful servant. Yes."
Good lad. Kind of grasp him on the shoulder.
Martin, you knock on the door. The door opens and it's a probably about 5 foot tall Egyptian, quite round, moustache, got his hat on. I don't know what the hats are called there.
Yes.
I don't think it's a fez.
Fez or turkey, I believe.
Yeah. But he looks at you. He goes, yes, you wish to buy clothes? Walk into my clothes shop. You wish to buy clothes?
It seems that we seem to have the wrong address.
Oh, you wish to have very fine clothes. You wish to come in and see clothes?
Sorry, we're looking for a Warren Bazaar. Just like glancing back at the kid.
Warren Bazaar? No, I've never heard of Warren Bazaar. Not heard of him. Not heard of any Warren Bazaar. No Warren Bazaar here.
I don't know if he's just. I don't know whether.
Is there any way to tell if he's telling the truth there or not?
I think you all
come up with the same idea. Yes, please. A psychology roll, please, from all of you. Anybody who wants to make the roll.
Yeah, I was just wondering, like, is he trying to hide something, or does he just talk? Or is he just a fast speaker like that?
Tim's not too far off, actually. So I'll say that you can always see this. Tim's not too far off. You can always see this. He answered way too fast. And in fact, as he's saying this, as he's lying through his teeth, and you're all very certain he's lying through his teeth, you can see past, he glances like, you know, to off to his side, and you can see past him in the shop, in the dim light of his shop. There appears to be a curtained archway at the back of his shop, and he's like glancing towards it. So he says, no, Warren Bazaar's not here. There's no Warren Bazaar here.
I think maybe we will take you up on your kind offer and take a look around.
Yes, and remember, Akhenaten still sees and hears.
Of course. Please come in. Please come in. I have many fine clothes. And it's, to be honest, it's a bit of a mess. Clothes all over the place. He obviously doesn't get many customers, but she's like, try this on. Like, come try this on. You, sir, with the hat, Ben, Denver is with you. You, sir, with the hat. Yeah, come try this on. And he's
ha, Denver will be the divergent.
Yep. So, what do you do? Are you going through?
Yep.
Yeah, let's investigate that curtain.
Okay. While the shop owner is busy with Denver, he kind of sees you going in, but he doesn't do anything about it. He's just busy, like, trying to sell Denver anything he can. And you go through to the back, and it's a tiny room. It smells. There's a foul bed in the room. There's filthy cushions, a worm-eaten low table. And sprawled on the bed, I have a... Where is my picture here? Is a man who has seen better days. He appears to be puffing a pipe of some local concoction. Tim, make me your choice of pharmacy or natural. I think it would make it a natural world roll. If you make it a natural world roll, please, if you're able to do that, just to see if you can identify.
I do not see pharmacy, so I'll go. Yes.
Yeah. It's not opium. It's a very, very, very poor grade of hashish.
What's hashish? And
he like moves around very, very slowly, very difficult as you enter. Yes, we. Who is it?
Tim Sullivan and Company. Yeah.
To interrupt there. What's
It's marijuana. I think it's marijuana, or is it one of the two? Cannabis.
All right.
Yeah. And who is it? Who's there? Tim Sullivan. I don't know that name. I don't know your names. Why are you here?
We were sort of like. We've been investigating the Carlisle expedition, and we were hoping you might be able to tell us something about.
And when you say Carlisle expedition, he kind of pulls back and pulls into himself. No, not them. No,
my friend.
No, I don't. I don't want to, no, don't, I don't want to, I don't want to, you can't make me, I don't want to remember, you can't make me remember, no.
Calm down, calm down. What, you seem very jittery and nervous at the mention of that name.
If I tell you my story, will you go away and leave me alone?
Absolutely.
I'll ask everyone to mute themselves and make sure your Roll 20 volumes are turned up.
Warren n'est pas là. Warren Maginot. It's very important that I smoke the rest of this pipe. Yes, yes, plunk down a few pounds and sit yourself down and we shall talk of choses merveilleuses. De plus grand chose que vous ne l'imaginez. Ah, no Frenchy. Merde. Madala Tagalamna Bia le Rabia? No? Anglais. English it is. Carlyle. Feels like a lifetime ago. It can't have been more than 5 or 6 years now. It was in the winter. Maybe January or February. There was a lawyer. He wanted me to be an agent, a purchasing agent for Roger Carlyle himself. The wealthy American. Money is no object. I told him, oui, monsieur, and got the things he wanted. Got them from Faraz Najjar, antiquities dealer. He could get his hands on anything, especially when money is no object. I whisked Carlyle's items out of the country. A little bakshish and whoosh! They're off to the Penhue Foundation in London. Bye-bye. A handful of ancient trinkets, nothing too special. A monkey could have done it. Got them there in plenty of time for Carlyle and his friends to see them there. This was, what, maybe April. They came here. Cairo. The Carlyle expedition in all their glory. I was their man arranging their equipment and permits traveling along with him to smooth out any difficulties with the locals or the authorities. Difficulties. The dig was to be at Dashur. The bent pyramid, magnifique. The sides are not straight, you know, up and then, whoop, bent over like that. Weeks later, I was at our camp at the shore, and Jack Brady came running up. He was scared out of his mind, and this was not like him. He tells me Carlyle, Miss Masters, Sir Aubrey, and Dr. Houston went inside the bent pyramid and never came out. They were sure there was some foul play. The diggers had fled the site. No work, no people, no expedition. We did not know what to do. So, I opened a bottle of cognac and we drank. Oh my, did we drink? The next morning as the sun comes up, et voila, who do you think we see coming from the bent pyramid? We were overjoyed. At first. What happened? Where were you? We could tell they had found something wonderful, something important, but Sir Aubrey forbade them from speaking, not a word. You could see it. They had changed. Something about them was different. And not for the better. Warren, he is a clever fellow. He knows when not to ask questions. Mon Dieu, what a day. In the night time, an old woman came to my tent. She tells me her son is one of the diggers I hired. Before I could send her away, she tells me her son and the other men, they fled because Carlyle and the others had consorted with an ancient evil. The messenger of the Black Wind, she called it. The souls of the Europeans are lost, she tells me. What, me? No, she says, not you. Not the big man. The diggers, they called Brady big man because, you've seen him, no? By now, I have had enough of this. But before I can send her away, she whispers to me, you need a proof? Go see for yourself. Go to the collapsed pyramid at Medum. The night before the dark of the moon, at the time when the moon is slimmest. Quel idiot! I went. Quel idiot terrible! I told Brady I was going to Cairo for a night on the town, but instead I went to Medum. I went. I was there. Warren, was it an imbecile? I sat alone in the dark until they came. Hundreds of them following Carlyle and the others. The things they did. Some kind of rite, a ritual obscene and horrid with 100 madmen. Obscene, immonde, the Gotan. The very desert came alive, crawling and undulating towards the ruins of the pyramid. Putain de merde! The ruins themselves became a skeletal, bulging-eyed thing. Strange creatures rose from the sands, grasped the dancing cultists, and one by one tore out their throats, killing all dead, all of them. Ah, but not my dear employers. They remained, and one other robed person. Have you heard enough now? No! No! There is more! Something more came up from the sand. Huge. The size of an elephant, but with 5 separate shaggy heads. Then I realized what it was, but no! 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 I cannot! I must not speak its name. But it ate them. The bodies swallowed all, devoured, leaving only the 5 of them standing on the blood-soaked sand. Poor Warren fainted. I don't know for how long, but I turned and walked straight into the desert, away from that place. I thought anything would be better. Idiot, Warren! Before the dawn, I stumbled up a rise of sand. Mon Dieu, I saw them. Hundreds of them. An army of dark sphinxes, rank upon rank, crouched on their haunches, waiting for the hour of madness to spring forth and devour the world. I left this world again, this time for many months. The man found me helpless, a big baby, a lunatic. 2 years, he and his mother cared for me, poor Warren, mindless and adrift, merciful forgetfulness. In time, I forgot and began to live again. I came back to Cairo, but now the dreams have come. Dreams and memories. Infernal nightmares. Ashish helps some. Opium is even better. Alas, my supply is all but gone, and I cannot bear the night without it. Please, I must have money. Perhaps you can help. Poor Warren. Madness grips at me every minute. For the love of God, don't leave me like this. Everything is lost. There is no hope for any of us. Everywhere, the weight. Alas, my pipe is empty. Merde.
And with that, Warren Bessart shuffles back and leans over. And just for your reference, I have the transcripts of that.
I was going to ask, is there a transcript or something?
There's a transcript, yep.
I mean, I had to refresh the page in order to get the audio, so it was just cut off at the end.
Mm-hmm. Thank God. Oh, right, I'm still muted.
No, you're not, you are. You're live. So, with that, Warren Bessart withdraws and just like kind of like turns over, getting on the pipe.
Sorry, I'm just rereading this through.
Yeah, I was trying to
make sure I haven't missed anything in my notes that I've taken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the only thing I might have missed would be like a name or two. It's like Masters, Carlisle, Sir Aubrey. Who was the fourth?
Brady.
No. Brady is innocent of all this. But was there a doctor, or...?
Was that not Penhue?
Ah, there... no, that's Sir Aubrey Penhue. I think. Yeah, I should reopen this.
Ah, that thing the size of an elephant with five shaggy heads sounds certainly something like what my old man would be interested in.
Okay, Carlisle, Hypatia Masters, Sir Aubrey, Dr. Houston. That's the one I was missing.
Collapsed pyramid.
Yeah, we've heard about the Pyramid of Dasher.
I was going to say, is that familiar to you, Tim? Man, you're kind of knowledgeable on your Egypt history.
And I have no doubt that the robed fifth figure was who we dealt with not so long ago.
Yes, Robin's forgetting the character name, but...
She went by a few names. The name in my notes is Emweru, but I remember that specifically being like, don't use that name. Well, she's dead now, so she can't tell me not to use it.
We assume she is dead.
No, we made pretty sure. We were right there. We killed
her. I know.
It's the others who are probably alive. Probably
oh, so that's what it looks like. I've heard of it, but I've never actually seen it.
Bed pyramid.
I'm sure no,
it's not. So is that an actual place?
Yeah, it turns out it's an actual place. I'd always heard of it, but I always thought it was just some Lovecraft thing. Turns out it's an actual place. I'll put the picture in.
Yeah, I remember when I was very surprised to hear someone outside of this group talk about
Blue John
the
Cabin.
mine. Yeah, just like.
Is there anything else you want to ask this poor man?
What do you know about a black feral?
That just makes him shrivel up even more. No, go, leave me, go. No. I've told you what I know. Leave me now. Leave me.
One last question. You mentioned sphinxes. They look anything like this, and Kapak's gonna pull out the party's black jade sphinx.
Oh dear.
Are you trying to show it to him?
Yeah.
He leans over. No, not like that. Not like that. No. No.
Okay. Okay.
Good shout, Ben.
Well, I can't think of anything else to question this much.
Yeah, I'm content about, to leave think, him alone.
gonna say, I've used all my daily money at the minute, so I can't even drop him anything to.
Well, I mean, I'm sure either. Martin or names escape me, suddenly. Martin or Tim could probably spare something.
Do you put any money in near him?
Yeah, if I can spare it, then yeah.
Okay, count that towards your daily, probably up to your daily spending limit. I can't recall what the actual exchange is here.
I mean, I hadn't been aware of daily spending.
Yeah. It's the pound. One Egyptian pound contains 100 piastres, which is equivalent to the British pound. So £1 would be $5 in this case. If it's under your daily spending limit, you can just chuck it in and not worry about it.
I gave mine to the little urchin.
It's like possessions?
Yeah, it's under possessions. It's spending limit.
I can see spending level.
Yeah. That's the one.
Oh, okay, then I can't spare any.
possessions. $2, yeah. Dollars are worth more. Even if you just put like one in, that'd be fine. But then if you're putting any, it would just say you can just like chuck him a couple of coins. And as he does so, he says, Nuri, the woman who helped me, her name was Nuri. She lives in El Wasta near Maidum. Yes, Nuri. And her
near
son.
Near
Maidum.
Thank you. You've been a great help to us.
Yeah.
I hope you managed to find what piece you are looking for.
I
take care of yourself.
Okay, so do you leave the shop at this point?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You leave the shop and Mahmood is out there crouching down. He's like petting a cat and the cat is rubbing up against him.
Aww.
But the moment the four of you emerge, the cat yelps and runs away.
Huh. Here now, what's this?
Cat doesn't like one or more of us.
Mahmood stands up. Yes, mister? Where you want to go now?
Well, we have two possible destinations. We have either El Wasta, or we have Breath Thin Bob's Open. Or we have the Street of Jackals.
Well, you have a small map on the Roll20 screen currently. And it tells you where Maidum is. Maidum is about 50 miles south of Cairo.
Oh, okay. And that also gives me the spelling. Okay, so that's a trip out trip.
I'm always looking expectantly up at you.
Well, that leaves the Street of Jackals then.
Street of Jackals? Street of Jackals? Yes, yes. I know Street of Jackals. I'll take you Street of Jackals. And he's again grabs Kapak by the sleeve and is like pulling him like through the alleys, through the streets, through all the markets.
Kapak's actually struggling to keep up a bit.
He doesn't notice. He just like keeps on going. And as it's approaching midday now, there's like more hustle and bustle out on the streets. People have come out. People are shouting their wares.
Is it always this busy here?
Busy. This is normal. This is normal.
I wasn't sure you were about to say, this is a quiet day.
as you're going along, there's people that go, buy my rugs, buy jewelry. And again, it probably takes you another... So Street of Scorpions, where you've just been, is location number 16 on the map, and the Street of Jackals is location 12. So probably takes you a good... half an hour or so to get through to the Street of Jackals.
Far from each other, that's good.
Mm-hmm. And you arrive at the Street of Jackals, and it's a trader street. There's like lots of fabric shops, carpet shops, antique shops dotted here and there, except for one, which is a burned out, rubble strewn hole.
What happened here, Mahmood?
I don't know. I don't know what happened here. Hey, and he calls out to some random passerby, and they start conversing in Arabic for a few moments. He says there was a fire here. He says there was a fire here 6 years ago. He says a hideous demon descended on the shop, and a hideous demon came down and burned the shop.
And what did the shop sell?
The shop belonged to... Faraz Najjar.
Figured.
Now that's interesting, because that's who we were looking for.
She says that
lines up with the time frame of the expedition.
He says Faraz Najjar survived, but it was horribly burned. He says he believes Faraz Najjar has a new shop. Street of Potters.
Ah, would you be able to take us there?
Yes, mister. Mamma would take you there. Yes, I'll take you there. Yes, mister. Grabs hand, pulls you. Yoinked. this is the Uber of the time, I believe, I think, from the way it's going.
It's not a tup-tup. I'm assuming they've got them in Egypt. I don't know.
Yeah, they've got motorbikes, I imagine, yeah.
Yeah, there's been some in the ambience, so like occasionally.
Yep. It reminds me I need to switch over the soundscape. Good thing about recording this, I can do all the sound effects properly afterwards. There we are. So he leads you again through the marketplace. It's probably where we're going to now. We're going to location 6, so it's another half an hour or more, 45 minutes. And he leads you to Street of Potters, and you're looking down the Street of Potters, and there is one shop clearly marked Faraz Najjar Curios, and in French, Magasin d'Antiquities. And it's like in the middle of like a load of tenements and flats built on top and around it.
I've got a horrible feeling Tim's favourite person's going to show up.
That's
again.
Why I voted to go to see Faraz Najjar.
I've been expecting him to show up.
Okay. So, do you enter?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You enter the shop, and it's packed full of merchandise, knickknacks. Tim, you'd see there's nothing really that valuable here. Mm. There's a curtain door towards the rear of the premises. And as you do, a man who is not your favorite person appears. He says, "Oh, hello, customers. Yes, yes. My name is Faraz Najjar. Yes, please. How may I help you? You wish to buy? You wish to buy? I have genuine statues here. I have genuine, genuine pharaoh's jewelry over here." Showing you all his wares, but it's all worthless. You can see instantly it's all worthless.
Who doesn't suddenly appear behind you?
I'm just expecting him to appear wearing a fez. Because keep in mind, Ottoman Egypt was a thing once.
Yes. How may I help you? What do you want to buy today?
Are there anything that is of particular interest that you would recommend, sir?
Oh, yes, this statue right here. Statue of Pharaoh Ramesses right here. Yes, genuine, direct from the Valley of the Kings. Yes.
Can I check it?
Yes, you can check it. What role would be appropriate? Archaeology? History? What do you think?
I'm going with archaeology. If I get it right, I reserve the right to say this is for someone else.
Okay, make it.
I shouldn't have said anything.
You know you want to spend luck.
You know what? Yeah, I'll spend luck. I have 48 of it.
Okay, 4 points of luck to make it, 5 points of luck to make that a success. And yeah, it's not only can you see that it is fake, you can see there's a row of two or three identical ones right behind it.
Yes, indeed. The Valley of the Kings in your basement, no doubt.
And he's a bit sputtering about it. Yeah, yes. I'm sorry. Would you like this instead? Is there anything you actually want to ask him? Otherwise, he's going to spend his time putting around.
I'd like to ask him about the.
What would you know about a black pharaoh? And I do not mean the Nubian pharaohs. I mean.
The moment you say black pharaoh, his eyes start to bulge, and you need to leave now. No, thank you. Yes, you need to leave now. Yes, no, we're closed for the day. You need to leave right now.
Dang it. I don't imagine he'd have been much happier to talk about the fire, though, to be fair to you.
Because
that was what I was trying to ask.
Do you want to try and say anything to, like, change his mind or to stop him from ushering you out?
Can we bribe him?
Mr. Ferez, yes, I would certainly still be interested to buy some stuff from you. But maybe you could look at this and I show him the Black's Jade Sphinx.
At this point, on the wall, there's a jeweled scimitar, and he's actually grabbing the scimitar and starts swinging it at you. No, out, get out, get out, get out.
All right.
I wasn't sure that would make his
Well. What do you wish to do?
I think we don't necessarily go spouting the name of the Black Pharaoh quite so openly here.
I think unless you stop him, he is going to push you out of his shop, and he's just like going to slam the doors.
Oh, I thought he'd done that already, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he'd done. I thought we'd gone past the point where we could do anything.
You are outside the shop. What do you wish to do?
Ah, that was a bit of a disaster.
Well, if we're keen enough, we can try. See if we can try another approach another day.
And I think we don't necessarily go spouting the name of the Black Pharaoh.
The Carlisle expedition? That's public knowledge. But like, are we allowed? Can we still ask about that?
Not who you're asking it to. Who are you going to ask that to?
I think we're just talking in general at the minute.
Just talking to the party, basically.
Yes, it is public knowledge. I think this is a bit of a loose end for today, dead end for today, but maybe if someone comes back at a later day, maybe not Tim. And that's no offence to you, Tim, it's just I think he might have taken a bit of a disliking to you. Maybe we can talk to him about purchasing some stuff and then ease into the conversation going forward. What other things do we have on our to-do list?
Well, we have met Tim's acquaintance at the museum.
Yes.
It's still early afternoon. You can make it to the museum, then that'd be the last activity for the day.
Yeah. I was just going to say to Mahmood, if at all possible, can you actually try and smooth things over so we can come and see him again at some point?
Yes, mister. Yes, mister. I make things smooth. I flatten the edges. I make things smooth, yes.
It is a long trip, but it's just across the breadth of the city.
I'm not sure if that was what you meant to say, but flatter him up. Butter him up. Make him like us.
I'll say it is only still fairly early in the afternoon, probably about 2 or 3 o'clock. So you still got time to get across there, really. And there's a tram. Red lines are a tram system, actually.
Ooh.
You're in the newer area of the city as opposed to the old city, so it's a lot easier to navigate.
I thought we were just at 6.
You are at 6, yes, but Mahmood can take you to the tram and you can all ride together. So
he did come at us a bit, didn't he? Looking at that picture.
Yep.
Can't say I blame him after the state the bazaar was in.
The Egyptian Museum is a building with a large ochre dome. As you enter, because it is open to the public, no need to knock or wait for anything, it is open to the public. You see a large collection of Egyptian material. Papyrus scrolls, sarcophagi, urns. Tim, you've been here before. Last time you were in Egypt, in Cairo, you've been here before. You probably helped to catalogue and to provide some of this collection. And
Oliver, do not step on the keyboard.
Step on the keyboard, kitty. Step on the keyboard.
As you are exploring a museum, Tim, you hear a voice behind you. My dear Mr. Sullivan, it fills my heart with happiness to see you again. It has been too long. And you turn, and behind you stands your old acquaintance, Dr. Ali Kafur.
Dr. Kafur, it's been some time.
It has been too long, my friend. It has been too long. And are these friends of yours?
Yes. Allow me to introduce to you Martin Linwood and Capac Lock.
Oh, pleasure. Absolute pleasure. Absolute pleasure. Friends of Mr. Sullivan are friends of mine. Well,
it's nice to meet you.
Well, I'm sure you didn't just come here to see me. What brings you to Cairo, my old friend?
Strange circumstances. Mysterious circumstances. America, Britain, and now here we are in Egypt.
Oh, my dear Mr. Sullivan, you're starting to sound like Jackson Elias.
Unfortunately, it's in relation to him.
Oh. I was sad to read about his death in the papers. Is it in connection with that you've come here?
It is indeed. I made about him saying to me that if Tutankhamun ever is discovered, he'll kiss me on the mouth, or made it into the papers, did it?
No, that didn't, but Jackson did let slip that he had made such a bet with you at some point. He came to see me a few months before, a while before his death. He was, I don't know, I'd heard of the author. In fact, you tell me stories of this man, this very capable, very confident author, but the man I met was nervous. He seemed to be constantly checking over his shoulder all the time we were speaking. I had to reassure him several times that there was no one else around. She kept on asking about the Carlisle expedition. I had a meeting to get to, and I couldn't answer all of his questions. We were going to make a follow-up meeting, but he never turned up, and that was the last I saw of him.
Enough detail about Jackson's journey.
Hmm.
I don't remember if we found a thing for but why he returned home early? Because that sounds like that's what happened.
Hmm.
You say he was asking about the Carlisle expedition.
Of course.
Yes. He's quite interested in the Carlisle expedition. It's a very odd story. If you ask me, I think they found something in their dig. They found something, some secret pertaining to the Black Pharaoh, and that got them killed in Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Sir Aubrey Penhew and I have corresponded several times and about the Black Pharaoh. He was very eager for information.
Hmm.
But it's very strange, though. They didn't come to visit me when they were over here. And
now, sorry, you. When we've mentioned the Black Pharaoh to other places, we've very much been shunned away. You seem to be the first person who's happy to talk to us about it.
I'm a historian, Mr. Locke. I'm happy to talk about history. A lot of people here in this city are superstitious. They still feel as though the spirits of the old pharaohs still watch over them.
Hmm. And what did you talk with Mr. Penhew about in regards to the Black Pharaoh?
He's very eager to learn a lot of its history. I was able to tell him quite a lot of information. There was the priest. There was a pharaoh, Neferenkar, a powerful sorcerer. He resurrected the worship of the Black Pharaoh it got to the point where people thought he was the Black Pharaoh. The Black Pharaoh fought with the successors of the Third Dynasty for control of the land. And then at last, Sneferu, who founded the Fourth Dynasty, he managed to overthrow Neferenkar, and he built a pyramid at Maidum to hold Neferenkar's body. But the pyramid collapsed and they had to build a second pyramid for it, for the body. Perhaps you've heard of it, the bent pyramid at Dashur. That's said to hold Neferenkar's body.
We were told about this pyramid earlier today, weren't we?
Yeah, I think that's what the Carlisle expedition tried to find evidence of Neferenkar's body, but I tried to visit them at their dig, and Obi Penhu, I thought he would have welcomed me with all the correspondence we've been having, but he turned me away. He turned me away quite rudely.
Sorry, this is me just doing my notes as well.
Mm-hmm.
He turned you away, but he said you'd been in quite...
I know. I couldn't understand it. I couldn't understand it at all.
And how did he look when you saw him?
He looked as he always does. He was very, very confident. Very in control. Certainly nothing seemed to be wrong with him.
And you said they'd gone into the pyramid, did you?
He didn't say that, no.
No.
That was put from a bizarre story.
Yeah, okay, sorry. You're getting muddled up. So did you actually go to this bent pyramid?
I went to the dig near Dashur, but I didn't get any further than that. They wouldn't let me in.
And is there any other ways you could potentially access it besides going through Dashur?
Not that I'm aware of. The whole site is you can get there, but it's quite a way out of Cairo, and I haven't had time to go back since.
If we were to potentially, in our investigation, head there, would you care to join us?
I'd like that very much. If that's an offer, I think I'd like that very much. But
I see Stanza's smiling there. I'm just thinking. Kapak doesn't know what he's getting into yet, particularly.
Yeah, I feel like Martin and Denver would be like, we can talk about it. Maybe the deal is, the deal we could make is so much as like, okay, we can, so like, we might actually get a route there. We check that everything is stable, because the only danger is things collapsing. And then we can come back and bring you along. That could be the adjustment to that.
I'd want a second renowned Egyptologist historian to...
Yeah, but we want to make sure the site's safe first before we bring him along, you know?
I'm sure it'll be fine. We've had a lot of people working there. It'll be fine. Sorry, I've got to get that chaotic energy out somehow.
Yeah, and he carries on and says, but there have been other expeditions since. You've heard of the Penhu Foundation?
Yes, we've had dealings with them.
They've sponsored 10 expeditions here, in the time since the Carlisle expedition, and well, if you believe the news, there's been at least 20 deaths, number of disappearances, several suicides, and one case of manners. One person got sent to a hospital, but they all seem to have that same sort of secrecy that the Carlisle expedition had. There's one in Egypt now, the Clive expedition. I've been trying to get access to their site, but they haven't let me in at all.
Clive expedition, was that?
Just like giving Kapak a look, just like, it sounds like the site is dangerous at the moment, so that's why I'm in favor of us making sure it's safe. before or bringing the good doctor along.
I know the clerics tradition.
The doctor is your choice.
I know the clime expedition, they're at Memphis at the moment. They seem to be, I think they're digging for someone. I've heard rumours they're digging for the body of Queen Nitocris.
Oh! I've got notes about that one! So, like, the crown, the girdle, and the necklace.
Oh, yeah, that sounds familiar. Well remembered.
It's the notes! I mean, like, I'm pretty sure this name came up, like, before Martin joined, so...
Quite possibly. It does sound familiar that you've said it.
And he's thinking, have you spoken to Nigel at all at the Cara Bulletin? Nigel Wessif at the Cara Bulletin.
Not yet.
Oh, she may be able to help you. He may have some of the old articles. Jackson went to see him as well. He may have some more pieces of information for you.
Cairo Bulletin, was that?
Yes.
Yep. Nigel Wessif?
Nigel Wassif. Wassif.
Hey, I got it in wrong.
And what kind of, excuse me, tabloid is this chiral bulletin?
Oh, you must have seen it on several stands. It's a local paper. News of sensational news. I remember there's one article in there from a few years ago about a fire in the old city.
Oh, whoa!
That was in 1919 though. But
Jackals.
Can't remember the details of it exactly. Nigel will be able to tell you.
Well, so we're definitely going to have to go see him tomorrow.
Yes.
Whoever's nearest Martin might hear him, so like muttering under his breath about just like, oh, the shooting star came through. It's like, literally my guess interpretation is, it was just generally so like, we're going to have we're going to have people who will help us get going on the investigation.
My friends, Tim, Mr. Sullivan, my friends, be careful. If you're investigating this affair, be careful. I don't know what you've been told, but there is a Brotherhood of the Black Pharaoh. It does exist. It's here in Cairo. I don't know exactly where or who or what they're doing, but they're still here. They still worship and...
Well, to be honest,
be careful.
We were expecting them. That's what went down in England.
Oh.
Didn't you people? I know I've not been with you long, but didn't you tell me that you'd had run-ins with them already?
Oh yeah, that was. that was how we lost Zoe.
You've encountered them already.
Yep.
Then you must have seen things.
Yep.
Follow me. And he leads you through the museum. He opens a door in his office that leads to a stairway going down. And just trying to find the right thing. At the bottom of the stairway is a rather thick-set metal door. And he brings out a big roll of big ring of keys from his suit, opens one of the locks. There's another combination lock. He opens that one. And he then waves his hands and intones some language. It's not Arabic. It's no language you've heard of before. And it's almost like you feel like this sort of static electricity on the back of your neck for a moment, and then it fades away.
Am I sensing any danger at the minute coming, like, or enmity?
No. No.
Oh, Martin very much trusts this guy.
Yeah. And he opens the door, and inside is... The door creaks open, and inside there's scrolls, there's books. He says, this is the information that I've had to keep hidden from the public. This is the information that is not accessible upstairs. And he leads you across to one alcove, and inside the alcove is a book. Okay, I just need to verify something very quickly about this book. It's a book. It is stored in black leather scroll cases. He takes one, pulls out the scroll, it's very fine gold goatskin parchment, unrolls it, and at the top there's a heading. And nobody, does anybody speak Arabic, by the way?
If you give me a second.
Who speaks Arabic?
No, I speak Latin.
Okay.
I speak English and French.
Okay. In that case, Kafura says, this may be of help to you, but I don't advise, I would advise, strongly advise against reading it. It's called the Al-Zif, written by the Arab Abdul Al-Hazred. Martin, make me a... What role would this be? Make me an education role.
Not an occult.
Abdul Al...
Abdul Al-Hazred.
Yeah, Hazred. Okay. Education.
I mean, you can make a Cthulhu Mythos if you wish to. I just think your education's got a slightly higher chance of succeeding.
Yeah, better than Cthulhu Mythos.
Yeah. So I think education would work for this. You've heard that name Al-Azif in another connection. It's the original name for the Necronomicon.
I was wondering if that was where I recognized it. Is that Al-Hazif?
Al-Azif. Al-Azif.
I am concerned what will happen to us given that Robin is in this party and we now have access to a Necronomicon.
Dr. Kafur says, if you wish to, I'll make this available to you, but I have to be present if you read it, if you decide to read it.
Yeah, so you could probably see some like recognition dawning on Margaret, so on hearing the name, just like, yeah, that's very sensible.
This is the second time this has come up that people seem so scared of words.
Didn't you read something while we were on the boat on the ferry?
Yeah, it was a bit disturbing, but it wasn't that bad.
Well, I think all of the weird books now in possession altogether are. Our small pickings next to that.
I'm going to add the Al-Azif to the library. Not make it available yet, but if you wish to read it, there are circumstances for reading it. Basically, you have to be here in this room with Dr. Kafur present.
It can't be that bad, surely. Can you give us a summation of what this book is, or scroll is?
I can tell you that. He's happy to tell you that. It's a copy. It's not the original. It's a copy. It's a later version. It's It's not complete, though. It is missing some sections. But it's probably the last Arabic copy of the Necronomicon in existence. It's a collection of stories and legends of gods, outer gods, old gods, everything that every entity that ever existed in all their different forms. It has maps, star charts, some of them have been damaged, some of them have been deliberately defaced. It's a hideous thing. It may be useful, but it carries a price to read.
And have you read it?
Bits of it. I haven't read the whole thing. I dare not read the whole thing. I know enough to know that the Black Pharaoh is real and the Black Pharaoh is dangerous.
And you're willing to find someone to translate this for us, did you say?
No, I can't trust anybody else to read it. If you wish to study it, it's hit. I will do the translation. I will help. I will assist as I can.
Okay. And you can see Kapak's curiosity is piqued.
Well, I am certainly curious about exactly how dire this cost is, because, like, I know just inscribing the Elder Sign on my discus was a pretty big cost.
You know what? I'm going to ask to spend some time studying this.
He's going to ask your reason for this. What specific reason you have for studying it?
We've, as you may have gathered, it seems our investigation has led us into conflict with the Black Pharaoh's minions. It would possibly be nice to learn more about our enemies.
I cannot deny knowledge is a powerful weapon, and forewarned is forearmed. I'm just wondering, are you prepared yourself? Do you have a reason yourself for doing this?
I would thought to forearm the entire party would be a wise thing, and potentially, if this is as bad as you say it is in terms of cost, better one person take that risk than everyone else.
But why you, in particular?
I suppose you would say, from what he's understood, that the Black Pharaoh killed his father? In a roundabout way.
Okay.
I mean, something of that ilk, indirectly.
Yes.
It was more the ghoul god's fault than the Black Pharaoh. But sure you'll find something about the ghoul god in there.
It was in Carlyle's kind of family home, wasn't it?
It was
in the mine.
It was in the mine, it was near a branch, an offshoot branch of the family, or the original family.
Oh, yeah, the weird reincarnation probably thing.
Yeah.
And maybe it's Robin and Kapak putting things together that aren't connected at all. But my thought is maybe Carlyle became a worshipper of the Black Pharaoh. This is above table as well.
Okay.
I made a theory that's sort of like, I think that's quite plain from Bazaar's story. Like, those four became they were part of the cult. And, like, we know two, and like, and we know two of them are definitely big deals in the cult. We got Zara Shafiq / MRO, because I checked the names you went by, and we've got Penyu, who She evasively referred to as beyond their reach when I tried asking, like, is he dead or not? Just like... Then that just left the other three who presumably weren't in the cult beforehand, but they were part of that bloody nasty rite. So, yeah.
So if you say that, if you say it's a, if he says, so is it vengeance you seek?
I think it's less vengeance and more a sense of duty. To find out what, why my father was killed and how deep it goes.
You're certainly willing to take on, to take this burden on, that's without question. If you are certain, then I will stay here, I will stay here with you tonight.
Appreciate it.
Tim and Martin, are you going to stay as well, or are you going to head back to the hotel?
I feel like maybe we should
head back to the hotel.
Okay, Mahmood is still there. Where's Mister? Where's Mister?
He'll be back along late.
Okay. Okay, I take back to hotel. Back to hotel? I take back to hotel.
Yeah, thank you, Mahmood. Am I be the next to be yoinked?
Yoink. No, he only yoinks Kapak. He only yoinks Kapak.
Okay, no yoink.
So you two return to the hotel, and it's probably like going towards evening now, nighttime, so you get what sleep you can.
Kapak. Unlike Kapak.
Kapak, you spend the night under the direction of Kafur, reading these scrolls, and he directs you to the section specifically on the Black Pharaoh. Please bear with me while I'm reading out the chunk of this text. At the end of the Third Dynasty, a man known as Neferenkar came to Egypt. Neferenkar was a powerful sorcerer. He brought madness and death to his enemies at the flick of a finger. The stories say that he came from an ancient city in the deserts of Arabia, whose name was Irem, the City of Pillars. All who knew of it held it in dread. Neferenkar revived the worship of an old, foul god, the Black Pharaoh. Soon, Neferenkar and that god were interchangeable in the minds of the people, and the sorcerer became known as the Black Pharaoh. Now no one can distinguish between their deeds and legends. For many years, the Black Pharaoh fought with Xhosa's successors of the Third Dynasty for control of the land. So great was the power of the Black Pharaoh that no record of them now remains. For a time, Neferenkar ruled the Nile and its peoples. At last, Sneferu rose and founded the Fourth Dynasty and, with the aid of the goddess Isis, thwarted the evil magic and slew Neferenkar. Remarkably, a pyramid was built at Maedum by Sneferu's command to contain the sorcerer's body. Kafur speculates that this, as you're reading, perhaps insulated Egypt from the still potent magic within the corpse. However, the Maedum pyramid collapsed, and a second, which is already under construction, was hurriedly repurposed. This second pyramid is now known as the Bent Pyramid at Dahshur. Records imply that Neferenkar's corpse was removed from Maedum and placed within the Bent Pyramid, but exploration of the site has discovered no trace, despite rumors of a hidden chamber within. Another pyramid at Dahshur, the Red Pyramid, is also attributed to Sneferu. This pyramid is said to guard Dahshur lest Neferenkar rise from the dead. Upon his triumph, Sneferu ordered all traces of the Black Pharaoh stricken from the land. Nevertheless, worshippers of the Black Pharaoh remained and schemed for the Evil One's return. In time, the worshippers were driven south, out of Egypt, into the hideous swamps beyond the Sudan. In the Sixth Dynasty, the cruel Queen Nitocris was thought to be in league with a new cult of the Black Pharaoh. And Dr. Kafur believes this, says that he believes this to be true. And he mentions that the Black Pharaoh is sometimes called by the name Nyarlathotep.
Was that another name for the Black Pharaoh, was that, or?
Oh, Black Pharaoh is sometimes called by the name Yarlathotep.
Yeah, just checking that for my notes.
Mm-hmm. Nyarlathotep.
I have an idea.
Jeff, will you be able to write that down in one of the handouts at some point?
I'll get the information to you. Yeah.
Yeah.
You also read that Neferenkar was said to possess a huge beast, of which the Sphinx at Giza is a small but inaccurate representation. The voice of Neferinkar is said to have been carried throughout the land upon a black wind, a wind that destroyed at his whim. There's a prophecy that the Black Pharaoh will arise, man-like but inhuman worshippers of the Black Pharaoh. I'm just going to tell you that. Man-like but inhuman worshippers of the Black Pharaoh were said to look underground in the deserts, occasionally wailing innocent passers-by.
The cult were wailing for passers-by?
Man-like but inhuman worshippers. And they are said to worship an outer god by the name of Azathoth.
Oh, okay, we got another one.
Azathoth.
Yep. Azathoth. So, you spend the night under Reed studying this, and you can add 6 to your Cthulhu Mythos.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because Dr. Vakifor is there, I'm not going to give you the full... I'm not going to ask for the full sanity loss.
Okay.
I'm going to ask... So I'm going to do... I'm going to ask you to roll me 2d10.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll take half of it. So a round down, we'll call that 4 points of sanity lost.
Yeah, no, that is right. How much is that? 4.
We'll call that 4 points of sanity, yes. Yeah. And maybe now you're starting to see how dangerous words written down on a page can be.
Yeah. I think Kapak would probably come down, like, just as he's reading, just go paler and paler and paler.
Okay.
Should I say my theory?
Please, yes.
Okay, so we know that... We strongly suspect that there has been a Roger Carlyle before. What if it was Nefren Carlyle? Well, probably because it also fits with the dreams he's had of becoming part of a god. So, like, and my conclusion from that is, like, okay, my speculation from that is, like, he's going to be made into another one of the masks or faces, as it were.
Hmm. Interesting.
And certainly, that's fitting with the whole Neferinkar becoming intertwined with the Black Pharaoh. Mm. So it was, like, I'm seeing a pattern.
And... Okay, so as you leave the museum, it's probably morning, it's starting to break now. Do you try and make your way back to the hotel? The tram line is there, so it's a lot easier to navigate your way back to the hotel. It's probably about 5 a.m. by the time you get up to your room, and you nearly trip over Mahmood, who is curled up in a ball sleeping outside your room.
Oh. Come on. And I spring you in and I pick him up by the scruff of the neck and kind of chuck him in the room. Then I kind of go in myself and lay down on the bed.
I forgot something.
I think, mm-hmm. given the sharing of information, at some point Martin would have told Dr. Kafour that it's that we have encountered one of the members of the expedition. Though, so like, we'd probably try both the names she's gone, but that Martin's heard her go by, Zara Shafiq and Emwelu.
You, like, that can't be. To my knowledge, Emwelu is in Kenya.
Okay, that is concerning.
But Zara Shafiq, you say, the name is familiar to me. And she was one of the leaders of the Brotherhood, wasn't she, in the UK? The name is familiar. High Priestess, yes. Oh, you need to be very careful. These people are not to be trifled with. But.
Well, There's at least one less of them to worry, but there's at least... Well, at least Zarathrafik shouldn't be... paralleling us anymore.
Be careful, these are dangerous people.
Yep.
Speak to Nigel. He can be an ally in our cause. He's a good man. He can be an ally. And I would have said, if because I imagine Demo is still with you, as you're all leaving the museum. Again, there's a couple of cats lounging in the sun, but as you approach, they run off. They run away.
Someone's spying on us with cats. We've had someone try to kill us with fog.
So the night passes. I think we'll get one last thing in before we finish. The night passes. It is now the morning. My calendar was completely wrong. It is now the morning of the 25th of March. What leads do you have to follow? We'll probably follow one lead before we have to finish. So what
I was
going to
say, if Kapak's got in at like 5 in the morning, I think he'd be asleep.
Okay, so we can go to Martin and Tim. If there's any lead you want to follow.
Not really. I'm fine with just continuing down the list.
Nigel.
Want to go visit Nigel? Okay.
Yeah, that's one person we know where to find who is within Cairo.
So you head to again the offices of the Cairo Bulletin. Are not listed on the map, which is a bit of an annoyance. It just says conveniently very close to whatever hotel you're staying in, so just like a block away from the hotel. And you enter. It's a typical paper. The ground floor is probably taken up with printing presses. Upstairs, there's a couple of desks. There's an office. And as you enter, there's a man there who... Oh, welcome, my friends. Ali told me that you'd be coming. My name is just Nigel Wasif. I'm the editor of the Cairo Bulletin.
He's quite baby-faced.
Younger than the doctor, yes.
Ali said that you were interested in Carlisle Expedition, is that right?
That is correct.
I've done some digging and I found some of the old articles that that we had printed on them. Would you like to see them?
Yes, please.
I'm not going to ask you to read these out, but just know that they are there and they are there for your reference.
Yeah.
They mainly detail the Carlisle Party's arrival at Cairo. There's some of the events they were invited to, and also how they departed Cairo after supposedly Roger Carlisle came down with a sunstroke. And Sir Aubrey Penhew announced that they were moving to a healthier climate while Carlisle recuperated. So I'm not saying not ask you to read these now, but they are there. But Wasif says, yes, I remember these, which I tried to get access to their dig sites, but they were simply horrid. They wouldn't let me or any of the other press anywhere near it.
Doesn't sound like they're letting anyone nearby go.
No. Yeah, something about when they came out, people said they looked different, as if they'd been through some strange experience or some... I don't know what it was. But I'll tell you one thing, they got very friendly with was someone around here, Omar Al-Shakti. They went to dinner with him for a few times.
Do you know where he found?
He's a plantation owner. I think he has a plantation up at Gezira Mohammed. It's about 20 miles, 30 miles outside of Cairo. And you know, I wonder if I'll have any better success at the Clive expedition. I've heard they're still in, I've heard they're down at Giza. Although I did hear rumours that they were looking for a mummy or something and they found it, but it was stolen. Some people even said that it was Queen Nitocris itself, but before they could test anything, the mummy was stolen. Still, it's good for a story.
Yeah.
And
do you have an article about the fire in on Street Objectives 6 years ago?
I do, yes. And he pulls another paper out and yes, it's here. And you can read this one out, please, Martin.
Okay. Mysterious fire in the old city. In the early hours of this morning, the shop of a local antiquities dealer, a Mr. Faraz Majar, succumbed to a blazing inferno that destroyed the premises entirely. Fortunately, thanks to the prompt actions of local residents, the fire was contained and did not spread to the surrounding buildings. One dreads to think of the conflagration that would have followed if it had. There are several reports from superstitious residents that Najjar's business was destroyed by a flaming demon in retribution for unspecified misdeeds. Although they have not fully ruled out that the fire was set deliberately, the police have assured the bulletin that it was most likely the result of carelessness on the part of Mr. Najjar. No doubt involved an unattended oil lamp, as these things so often do.
Is there anything else you want to know? I'll tell you what though, if you're interested in the Clive expedition and the mummy, there is someone you might be able to speak to. A European named Jan Willem van Heuvelen. It's in the chat.
I'm going to need help with that spelling this time.
You will need help for this one. Apparently he was let go from the expedition. They claimed incompetence, but I wonder if he had something to do with the mummy's disappearance.
Oh, is this the Clive expedition?
Hmm. As far as I know, he's still here.
Wow, so he's somewhere in Cairo.
Any idea where
we might find him?
Just looking quickly. No, but I may be able to ask some questions. I'll be able to find out for you by tomorrow, maybe.
Oh. That'd be much appreciated.
Of course, yes. Anything for friends, Dr. Kafour. And with that, as you head back out into the Cairo streets, the bustling Cairo streets, back to the hotel. Not this morning. No cats this morning. I think that is where we'll call an end to the session for tonight. So, thank you once again for playing tonight. Hope you had a great time. Let's go around and do our stars and our wishes. We'll go reverse order. Start with Robin.
Oh, getting to read the Necronomicon.
It's every COC player's dream is to read the Necronomicon.
Really? As for wishes, I suppose being more confident at the start of like each like new chapter, if that makes sense, because I'm never quite sure where to start.
Well, we did okay. We had a handful of leads and it's blossomed out.
True. And also not having tech problems.
That'd be that's one we all want, yeah. Stanza.
I think my star is sort of like is figuring out the Nephron Carlyle theory idea. I'm just looking forward to finding out more at this point.
Brian.
Just happy to be in Egypt. So that's my star wishes. We figure out these cats. What's going on with them?
And oh, for me, I did enjoy the little Faris Najjar scene.
As short as it was.
Oh,
I'm
yes, yeah.
assuming no matter what we did, he was going to chase us out.
Pretty much, yeah. Then it comes about like that. Can you then come down and maybe try again later on when he's calmed down a bit, I guess. So, yeah, that's probably
He
another one
may
still to
try
come.
that.
Still to come. Wishes, yeah. Interesting to see where things where you go to next. You say you've had lots of leads come out tonight, lots of important information coming out tonight. I did enjoy the whole stuff around the Alazi for the Necronomicon as well. That's quite good. Yeah. And with that, it only remains for me to say thank you all very much for watching. If you haven't done this already, please do subscribe to our YouTube channel. Please like and leave a comment down below and join our Discord, be able to talk about this in any of our other games, and we will see you next time. Good night, guys. Thanks
Bye-bye.
for watching.
Bye.
You have been listening to Masks of Nyarlathotep, a Final Boss Fight audio podcast with Ben the Quest Giver as Demna Smith, Brian Croy Dragon as Tim Sullivan, Stanza as Martin Linwood, with Robin as Kapat Lock. If you have enjoyed this podcast, please consider leaving your review. We stream this and other games and campaigns every month, with video replays on YouTube and an active Discord community. For further details, visit our website, finalbossfights.co.uk. Until next time, take up your sword and let's take this final boss down together.